Apologize for the mic stuff this morning. Tom does an amazing job with our mics and working with us, but for some reason, I don't know why, we want to step this way. And when we step that way, there is a dead spot in our auditorium, and we still haven't been able to figure that out. So I apologize for that. So I got a little bit flustered there. But also wanted to make sure that our guests know that we are so appreciative that you're here this morning, that it is a blessing to each of us for your presence here this morning. We pray that you'll be blessed by being here with us as we try our best to honor our amazing God. I also wanted to mention, I found out this morning, and I asked Courtney if it's okay if I said this, but the Heitmans are going to be leaving us. They're going to be moving to the Memphis area probably around June 5th. I think will be their last Sunday here. So we are saddened that they are going to have to move, but some things just fell into place, and they just said that's close to Courtney's family, and so they're going to be headed that direction. So we are going to miss having them as a part of our family here. And when Rob asked me to preach, I started thinking about Mother's Day, and as I did research, I found out that Mother's Day is a really challenging time for preachers. How to preach a good Mother's Day message. And then I started saying, well, why would this be so hard? And I came across some things. While Mother's Day can be a very happy, a very joyous day, a day to honor some very special women in our lives, can also be a challenging day for some. Why? Because not everybody sees Mother's Day the same way. Here's some reasons why Mother's Day can be challenging for some, maybe even in our audience today. Maybe you've recently lost your mother and you're experiencing the pain of that loss. Maybe you've lost a child and your heart grieves on Mother's Day. Maybe you're having difficulties with your mother and your mother wasn't the ideal mother that preachers like to preach about. Maybe you don't have good memories of your mother. Maybe you have some guilt feelings about your own motherhood and you have children problems or marriage problems. Maybe you were never able to have children and Mother's Day isn't a joyous occasion for you. Maybe you never had a real mother and were raised in a foster home or by relatives. Maybe you're a single mom and you're struggling with being a good mother to your children. Every home is not like the Brady Bunch or the Ozzie and Harriet Nelson family, if any of you remember who they are. Maybe your home is more like the Ozzy Osbourne family than it is the Ozzie Nelson family. But those are sometimes things that we don't think about, that we don't consider. But yet, even as we acknowledge these difficult situations, we don't want to miss the opportunity to give honor to the mothers, the godly mothers that are present this morning, those whose life honored God, who have served Him faithfully. Because you see, mothers who have a relationship with God receive their heart from Him. They receive that mothering heart, and they learn through His love how to be a good mother. The love of a mother for a child in most cases is very much the way in which God loves us. The annual Mother's Day celebration touches off some of our deepest emotions and sentiments about what real love is and what it should be. If Christians can say God is love, probably their first and most powerful experience of human love usually starts in the womb and continues in the arms of a mother. Some of you have witnessed that and seen moms in that first moment when they hold that child. And that is the image of God, how He holds us. She brings new life into the world at the risk of her own life, a life she accepts, nurtures, and defends. And like I say, that's in most cases. We in our world today see different scenarios sometimes. In the same way, we can experience and describe God. I remember when I was growing up, and I hate to say this, but I was a mama's boy. I clung to my mom. I was with her all the time, stayed around her. My dad was always, you know, usually at work, and he was a great dad, but I was a mama's boy. When I got hurt, she was the one I ran to. When I needed something, I always went to mom. And I'll never forget my first grade year. That there wasn't a kindergarten in my school, and so I started school in first grade. And I remember that first day, and I remember walking up those steps as she was in the car waving at me, and I, man, just tears just flowing from my face. I'm going, what am I going to do? My mom was my protection. She was my comfort. I received unconditional love from her. What am I going to do? And I was going through my day and had all these weepy childlike feelings, and then I get to lunch and my mom's working in the lunchroom. So I was like, yes, my mom's here. So, you know, God worked that out for me. But I think about that. I think about the experiences of growing up and the kind of love my mom gave me. And as my relationship with Christ grew, as my relationship with God grew, I could see that it was God that gave her that love, showed her how to love me as her child. We proclaim God's word uniquely made in flesh in Jesus, but also made in flesh in human love. And we have the privilege of experiencing God's love through our mother's love. I have this illustration. I thought it was really good. And some of you have heard of Irma Bombeck, but she tells of God's act of creating mothers. She says that on the day God created mothers, he had already worked long overtime. And an angel said to him, Lord, you sure are spending a lot of time on this one. The Lord turned to the angel and said, have you seen the specs on this model? She's supposed to be completely washable, but not plastic. She is to have 180 moving parts, all of them replaceable. She is to have a kiss that will heal everything from a broken leg to a broken heart. She is to be able to function on black coffee and leftovers. And she's supposed to have 6 pairs of hands. 6 pairs of hands, said the angel? That's impossible. Well, it's not the 6 pairs of hands that bother me, said the Lord. It's the 3 pairs of eyes. She's supposed to have 1 pair that sees through closed doors so that whenever she says, what are you kids doing in there? She already knows what you're doing. She has another pair in the back of her head to see all the things she's not supposed to see, but that she must see. And then she has 1 pair right in front that can look at a child that just goofed and communicate love and understanding without saying a word. That's too much, said the angel. You can't put that much in one model. Why don't you rest for a while and resume your creating tomorrow? He said, no, I can't, said the Lord. I'm close to creating someone very much like myself. I've already come up with a model who can heal herself when she is sick, who can feed a family of 6 with 1 pound of hamburger, and who can persuade a 9-year-old to take a shower. The angel reached over and touched this model's cheek. This one has a leak, he said. I told you you couldn't put that much in one model. That's not a leak, said the Lord. That's a tear. What's a tear for? Asked the angel. Well, it's for joy, for sadness, for sorrow, for disappointment, for pride. You're a genius, said the angel. Moms are a little bit like God. And this morning I wanted to share a few words from the scriptures about the ways in which a mother's heart is like God's heart. In Isaiah 66, verses 12 through 14, he says, for this is what the Lord says, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. And he says, you will be comforted over Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart will rejoice and flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord will be made known to his servants, but his fury will be shown to his foes. And this, God pays a wonderful tribute to motherhood. In his comparison, as a mother comforts, so I will comfort you. Doesn't he do that with us each and every day? He does it through the hands of our mothers. He does it through the hands of even our fathers and our brothers and sisters in Christ. But he made this connection with mothers because he knew people would understand when he said these words. Whether or not we have had the comfort of a good mother, those of us in Christ have the wonderful knowledge that God will love and comfort us. There are some that have not experienced a mother's love in the way that God intended for it to be shown. Yet God has that same ability that a mother has to give us that kind of love. In 1 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4, he says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles." And oftentimes when I read that, I think about how many times my mom comforted me when I fell down, when I busted a knee, when I was taken to the... I even got hit by a motorcycle when I was 7 years old. And it was because I was obeying my mom. I'll explain that a little bit. They flushed the fire hydrants in our city streets when I grew up in Texas City. And all the kids in the neighborhood would go out and they would be playing in the street in the water that's flooding out of those. This is a blast. We had a good time. And they were flushing a hydrant down the street. And I went and I asked permission, like a good son, "Mom, can I go?" And she said no at first because she didn't want me in the street. That's a mother's love. Finally, after much convincing, she said, "Okay, you can do this. You can stand on the curb where the water is coming across, and you can stand there, but don't go in the street." And so I said, "Great, at least I get to go and stand in the water." Well, there was a guy riding his motorcycle who thought it'd be fun to ride through the water. And he swerved to miss the kids in the street and hit me standing on the curb. I went face down, slid across there. And a neighbor picked me up out of the water, almost drowned. I had skin from head to foot, and I could barely move because I was stiff. But it didn't break a bone in my body, which I don't know how that happened. And when my eyes opened after being unconscious for a while, the first face I saw was my mom's. And I said, "Mom, that's the last time I'm going to stand on the curb. I'm going to get in the street." No. But that first, seeing her eyes and seeing her concern for me, her love for me, she always was rescuing me in my troubles. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 10 and 11, we see the reference of God in relation to an eagle, I believe a mother eagle, hovering over its young and spreading its wings to catch them, and then carry them high away from danger. Listen to what he says. He says, "In a land, desert land he found him, in a barren and howling waste. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye, like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and then carries them aloft." I've seen the eagles in Llano and seeing how they take care of their young, and that mother stays so close. And we see that kind of illustration in what God does for us all the time. He's there with us all the time. And then in Psalm 91, it speaks of God as our protector, using the analogy similar to the one that Jesus used concerning a hen giving refuge to its chicks, which we'll go to in just a moment. But notice where we must dwell in order to receive this kind of protection. Psalm 91, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High." Important statement in that part. "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart." And I was looking at these pictures, and I thought, This is what we see. This is the what God, He is covering us. He is our protection. He gives us comfort. He is taking care of us. And like these descriptions in Deuteronomy 8 and Psalm 91, Jesus paid the same kind of tribute to motherhood, I believe, when He spoke of His concern and love for Jerusalem being typified by a hen gathering her chicks under her wing. In Matthew 23:37, He says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." And I think sometimes we are stubborn children, even in relation to our moms, and sometimes we're stubborn, and all they're wanting to do is take and protect us. They want to shelter us. It is what God wanted to do for His own people, but He said they weren't willing. And so we must listen to the wisdom of our mothers. We must listen to the wisdom of our God, because He's the one who gave that kind of heart to our moms. We are reminded in these passages of God's love for us. We are also reminded that those who were blessed to have godly mothers should remember that their love comes to us through the heart of God. All love that is agape love flows through Him. I know how to better love Debbie because of God's love. He first loved me. When I love Him and I filter all of my love through Him, it's the right kind. It flows through the wellspring of His love. And oftentimes we try to do it ourselves by human love instead of embracing God's love. When we love Him, He shows us how to love one another. And that's a great gift that God gives to us. If you're here and didn't have a mother who loved you through God's love, I want to remind you that God loves you not only like a father, but He loves you like a mother as well. You're His child. And even though humanity fails us at times, God never fails us. Remember the passage, 1 Corinthians 13, talks about love. And those three powerful words, love never fails. When you connect that to 1 John, where it says God is love, that also says God never fails. His love never fails. Three things that I'd like for you to take away from this lesson. The first one is that God is always with us, as He said. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. He is always with us. The second thing is God will comfort you. He is the comforter who gives all comfort. And our mothers can comfort us for a time, but then sometimes they depart. They have shown us God's comfort in the way they comforted us, but He can comfort you as well. And the third thing is God will be your protection if you allow Him to. He will shelter you in the shadow of His wings. This does not mean you will not be exposed to unfairness in this world. This is a fallen place, and there is trouble. And Jesus made it very clear to His disciples that although His love encompassed them, He said that in this world, you will have trouble, but in Me, you will have peace. And that's where we should dwell. That's where we need to dwell. God will spread His wings to catch us. And I love what it says in that psalm. He will carry us aloft. He will lift us up from the pain and the struggle of this life. And lastly, again, we say, Happy Mother's Day. May God bless each of you here that are mothers, or even some of you maybe that aren't mothers yet but desire to be mothers. That God would give you His heart so that you can love the way He intends for you to love your children. God loves us, and He has given us one of the greatest gifts in Jesus Christ, our Savior. He's given us His love, and it's perfect love. There may be someone here this morning that needs prayers. Maybe some mom struggling to be a good mom needing prayers. We come together here and we have elders in the front, we have elders in the back as well, that will pray with you over any situation you are struggling with in life. They have a heart for God as well. They have been called to shepherd this family, and they will pray with you about any situation you're dealing with. Maybe there's someone here that says, I just want to be obedient to Christ, and you're ready to make that decision to repent and to confess His name and to be baptized and to live for Him. That would be a joyous occasion for any one of us. But if you have any need at all, please come forward, because I know the heart of God is here for you as we stand and sing.